This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Kaylin's getting it in the back. There you go. Go see her at Twin Peaks.
I'm fist pumping.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Kaylin, look away from this.
Kaylin said he did it yesterday.
Yeah.
I did. You didn't even look up.
Look away from this fool. Look away from this
idiot.
Supposed
to look up.
Look away. Look away.
Final hour of the show as we try to get you to your weekend as quickly as possible. Back to the boys and the Lions at 9:20 crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece at 9:40. But let's hit the keg.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
You know, I do love...
when Deion Sanders gets petty.
I thought he wasn't petty. I thought he like doesn't like, it's all about the kids and I take the high road. He's as inconsistent as Dan Orlovsky is.
Well, he is in Boulder, Colorado. Technically, every road there is high.
Oh, okay.
Because of the mile high elevation.
Because the mile high elevation.
And the weed.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to go there. I'm not saying anything, but it is legal there. So if he's partaking, I don't care. So, Deion Sanders, of course, backstory, we all know, they've got a rivalry with Colorado State. It's their in-state rival anyway. It's pretty one-sided. It is Colorado as the big dog program, if they are ever a big dog program, and they have been lately. And Colorado State's always been like kind of like, you know, a little stepsister, right? But here we go. Braden Fowler-Nicolosi, who went to Aledo.
Oh.
And Torrey Horton, the wide receiver, they're the ones that said in that little piece before the Colorado State-Colorado game.
I was like, did they play again? Are we doing this like divisional games? Like this was weeks ago.
It was weeks ago. But
it was a close, good game, wasn't it?
That was 2 years ago. I think Colorado State got beat down pretty good in this one.
Yeah, it wasn't the one last year. That was the one where everybody
double
said
overtime.
That was when Travis Hunter got hit and had the injury.
So, you know, payback was a what? You know what it was. But that's what Colorado State was also saying. We are going to get it. They said, we're going to get him. Well, they didn't get him. Colorado wins the game.
28-9 this year.
Yeah, and again, it was a couple weeks ago. Several weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was like mid-September.
September 14th.
We're a month later. But Deion goes to the podium yesterday because there was talk that those two players had gotten big-time NIL offers from somewhere else. And Deion did not waste an opportunity.
It needs to be a rule NCAA-wise to, if that's your course of action, they should let them go and start their next journey with the whatever team that is that they've already been talking to, because they've already been talking. Just like the two guys from that we played several weeks ago at Colorado State. They said they were offered how much in the portal? How you offered 600 and you didn't get in the portal? Why can none of y'all ask that question? How are you offered 600,000, but you didn't get in the portal? I got time today.
Because what he's saying is like, and this is not just for Colorado. It's a problem that's going on. Is that you have teams calling up these players who aren't in the portal, like, and that's really the only rule. The only rule in the lawless West that is college football is you can't talk to players who aren't in the portal. But someone offered, allegedly, those two players $600,000, and they're not in the portal right now. And he's like, how'd that happen? You know?
Putting them on blast for an investigation.
Think about the just...
I thought he was just crapping on their value first. But no, he's talking about the tampering.
He's talking about the tampering. Now, from a value standpoint... you know, and Matt Rhule has said this. If you want to get a good quarterback in the portal, you're looking at $1.5 million, $2 million.
Yeah, $2 million. Now, think about just the shift in college football, though, where a decade ago you had kids who are terrified to take a like a to-go plate from Luby's from a booster. Yeah. And now the one rule that you have in college football, people are like, no, I'm going to call these kids. I don't give a damn what you say. You guys are powerless now. They have lost every bit of power over the last 10 years.
Yeah, yesterday was not Coach Prime. That was Petty Prime. And I was here for it.
Well, Bobby, you actually liked, right, what Deion said?
I was surprised he didn't dunk on a reporter yesterday when given the opportunity. And it shows either some level of humility, doubtful, more likely the fact that he cares for Travis Hunter and he doesn't want a dog on Travis Hunter. But
and that they're winning.
Yeah, there had been a discussion. Some of the reporters were asking him about, you know, oh, what Travis Hunter can achieve on the next level. And, oh, how does he compare to you as a player? Is it possible he's better than you? Could Travis Hunter be better than you? And that's obviously a ridiculous question to even ask. But Deion, to his credit, didn't just
laugh
it off.
Is it ridiculous?
Yes. It's ridiculous to assume anybody's going to be as good as Deion Sanders, even if they have a chance or even if they do it one day. It's absurd to even suggest it as a possibility because it's so statistically unlikely. But Deion, to his credit, didn't just go, no, nobody's better than me.
It's not me against Travis. I had my turn, man. I'm not a doorknob anymore. You can't just turn me on and off for like a light switch anymore. I don't do that. Travis is everything. Is it? Is it his turn now? I want him to have all the accolades, all the praise, all the love, all the attention, all the focus that he desires. I've had my turn. I'm that old boxing coach in the corner that says left, right, hit him right here. All right, come on up to the corner. Let me tell you this. That's who I am right now. I've had my turn. It's not me against him.
Do you see some of your...
I see similarities in certain areas, especially away from the game. Travis is a really, really, really good young man. A really good young man.
He didn't say anything crowning himself in that clip.
No, that's
he
what
didn't
I'm
saying. A reminder, I'm the man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he showed something yesterday that showed he didn't take the opportunity to dunk when he easily could have, because it's ridiculous. When Barry Bonds asked,
it's not a dumb question, though.
What would happen if you were out here swinging against satchel pitchers? He's like, I'm hitting the ball out. What are you even asking me that for? Like, are you kidding me? When he asked that, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, how arrogant. It's like, it is Barry Bonds who hit more of them than anybody else. It's not that absurd. Similarly, not that absurd if Deion would have said, look, he's in college. Let's slow down on compared to me.
Yeah.
But Deion said.
Well, he wants to recruit other people too, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to crap on your own player.
Well, and Deion said it there that he's not that guy. And he's like, basically saying, in the past, yeah, you could have gotten me going with trying to bring
that. But he is that guy.
He
it
is.
It depends what day it is.
He is, just not with Travis Hunter, clearly. Yeah. Travis Hunter, that's his crown jewel, and he's going to watch over him.
They are a four-point dog to K-State at home this weekend. Both teams kind of a bye, but... last time K-State went to altitude, they went to play at BYU, they got run out the building. So I don't know if that's if that was just one game or, you know, they just all have very weak lungs. Maybe they got a lot of smokers on the
rhythms.
Team. Yeah.
By the way, that ESPN poll from executives and scouts, they named Shador QB1 in the draft.
Such a weak quarterback class coming out.
Is it?
Yep.
20 NFL scouts and executives, he got 9 votes, the most among any player. Carson Beck followed with 5, and then Jalen Milroe with 4.
There's some you'll hear.
And an executive said, quote, definitely a strange year. Obviously need to see more.
Yeah, next spring it'll be Beck in all likelihood, as you're talking. And guys could rise or fall in this process. But right now it would be Shador and Beck are the only guys really being talked about in the first round. Other guys who could go up. Quinn Ewers could go up. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU could go up.
You'll still get 4 Milroe. In the first round. Quinn's going to go in the first round.
Maybe.
Just the way they overvalue quarterbacks.
This I mean, the you got a shock collar last time you thought that.
More concern over Shador on the field with the skills or off?
I think there's stuff on the field that he's flawed that people have worries about. But, yeah, there's obviously the whole prime legacy that's coming with him. That'll be a question for people.
College football kegger here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, so do we have another Matthew Sluka? He's the UNLV quarterback that entered the that decided to redshirt. His college coach at Holy Cross said that he was offered $500,000 and he stayed. He was offered $500,000 elsewhere when he was at Holy Cross and he decided to stay. That's what the head coach said. But how about this? This is how Shane Beamer reacted to this one. Shane is the head coach at South Carolina. He has a linebacker, Bengali Kamara, who played a season high in snaps last week. After the game, walks into his office and says, I want a red shirt. Shane's like, nah, man, it don't work like that. You know, you want a red shirt, whatever. We'll have a discussion. But you don't just tell me when you're going to red shirt. And eventually, he didn't see it that way. And Beamer's like, all right, you're off the team. I'm not going to have my players dictate me when they're going to red shirt. So there's a couple ways to approach this. And that's what the coaches right now are navigating through is players, because this was basically the last week for players to be able to redshirt, because you can't play in more than five games and redshirt.
I just got an interesting text from my Vanderbilt boys, and this is actually coming from Dan Murphy, who works at ESPN along with Kendrick Perkins. A company founded and fronted by Kendrick Perkins is offering college and high school athletes upfront money in exchange for a portion of their NIL earnings. Experts say the deals resemble high-interest loans and could be taking advantage of players. How does that hit y'all? And I'm surprised. You know, this is ESPN on ESPN reporting crime here.
People were worried about this, that this was going to happen, is that they were going to get the players before they got to school. So not everybody who gets to college gets an NIL deal up front. Now, you got your top recruits that are going to get NIL deals up front, right? Basically, everybody in the ESPN top 100 is getting a major NIL deal up front. But then you got other guys that aren't.
Other guys are getting just base deals of, like, if you commit here, we've got a collective that gets you a little bit of this. Like, the guys are getting that a lot of times.
But this is, hey, you know what? You know, we'll give you money now. We'll give you money now up front, but any NIL money that you get in the future, we control that now.
Shady.
Very.
You don't like that.
I don't care for it. I mean, you're taking advantage.
Predatory.
Of kids who have nothing.
Someone in the comments said, wow, crappy analyst, even crappier human, Kendrick Perkins. So there it is. That story coming from ESPN.
A&M has a defensive back on their team named Will Lee. Will Lee the third. He is the king of trash talk. This is awesome, and he does this every week.
Oh, this is good.
So they just played Missouri, and Missouri wide receiver received, when he got to his hotel room, it was a card with a picture of Will Lee on it, and it was a Texas A&M a blanket, like one of those throw blankets. And on the card, it says, get used to this blanket. It will be real tomorrow.
Dang!
Signed, William the Blanket Lee, the corner.
It's pretty good.
I mean, that's a legendary trash talk comment.
Is he a first-round guy?
I haven't studied him enough to know that, but I do love that. That's good. That's
fantastic.
Solid.
Fantastic.
When did he do that?
He's done it every week, apparently.
Yeah.
This weekend was the first guy to posted it.
Against Missouri.
Against Missouri.
Did he shut him down?
They scored 10 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Who from Missouri got it?
Theo Weiss. Theo Weiss.
Yeah, Theo Weiss was over at Oklahoma for a little bit. He didn't send it to Luther Burden, who by a lot of people's accounts might be the most talented player heading in the draft next year. So,
all right, let's bring you a little life and sports education from Nick Saban. This is random, but we like to, you know, kind of relay life lessons if you think they can apply, from ESPN. Nick Saban talking about leadership.
Transactional as a leader, which is the way I was until 1998. In other words, everything was about winning or losing. And when we won, I patted people on the back. But when we didn't win, I was probably too harsh, didn't use it as a teaching moment. And negative experiences without teaching kills morale. In 1998, we were going to play Ohio State. They were number one in the country. We were 4-5 at Michigan State. They were getting ready to fire me at Michigan State. And I don't think we can win the game. So I said, what's my approach going to be? So I had to change into being a transformational leader, you know, somebody who was somebody that players could emulate, you know, cared about the players for their benefit, not my benefit, you know, had a vision for what we would accomplish and how we were going to do it, and had value-based principles that were going to help them be successful in life. And play one play at a time. Everything's about process. Nothing's about outcomes. And we became a different kind of team. We actually won that game. It turned around. And, you know, my coaching career actually changed 360 during that time as well. Didn't have a great record before that game. Had a much better record after that game.
You think?
What?
Isn't it supposed to be his coaching changed 180 degrees, not 360?
That's what we just said.
Jason Kidd.
In the clip. Yes. So there's Nick Saban. who Bobby hates.
Soft.
Hates.
This is what Machota called. I told you all this right after the Alabama-Texas game last year. Machota said, I bet Saban's done after this year. Because he said the way he reacted to that loss is the way I saw Bobby Bowden react to losses at Florida State when he was near the end, where he was just like, he didn't have the energy to care about it as much
anymore.
That's
not soft. He's old. He don't want to deal with all the BS.
Old and soft.
Yeah.
Wrinkly.
All right, enough about Devontae Adams. Bobby wants to really fix the Cowboys with some actual trades that could happen. Next, and below the belt, 920 edition of The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
All right, let's fix the Cowboys. Huh? Let's try to make some trades that'll actually improve the Dallas Cowboys and make them jump to actual contender status, because Devontae Adams isn't going to do it.
I think we have finally reached, maybe even passed, the Dallas Mavericks in terms of trade laughability when it comes up as a topic around here. They are the new Mavericks in terms of just laugh at it.
Yeah, I mean, well,
that they're going to miss and not ever do anything.
Yeah, I mean, they did go get Gilmore and Cooks in trades, which were positive, but those were not like,
yeah.
The last big one, obviously, was the big Amari Cooper one, which is 6 years ago now.
18.
Almost 6 years, like to the day. I think it's next week is 6 years.
Well,
and so it was around this time 6 years ago that they made a trade.
By the way, Gilmore PFF grade, for what it's worth. What do you think?
67.
68.7. He's in the green. So
he's a good player still.
We were saying, hey, props to the Cowboys for this, not props for Derrick Henry. Props, yes or no, for Stephon Gilmore not bringing him back.
And by the way, Peyton, he was under. So in Price is Right rules, he would have actually won.
He doesn't know what Price is.
Oh, were we playing Price is Right?
Yeah.
Peyton, I like it.
We're always using Price is Right rules. That's just the way it is.
Give him a break. It's 9:24 on Thursday, he's done working. He's already started his weekend and his extended weekend. I'm sure he's off Monday to recharge from his difficult week.
Going to the Oklahoma Fair.
All right. So making the Cowboys a contender is going to take multiple trades, and if you really want to just say, let's go all in, let's go make some moves for players.
Yeah.
Without giving up top 100 draft choices, because that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. They want cheap resources. They want cheap, talented resources. But if you just said, hey, let's live in this pretend world where they go ahead and make several moves to try and get better, then we can go through this exercise of finding five trades, that's probably how many it'll take to really make them a contender. So here are the rules. Going to be as realistic as possible here. So that means there is no Trey Lance for Jalen Wright Twitter trade. That's not happening because the Dolphins would never make that trade. It's stupid.
Go Balls.
Wouldn't do it. Is that y'all's hand sign?
So these stupid Gen Z kids, they say, we want to come up with a hand sign. And I'm like, this happened within like the last like 3 or 4 years. So they try to make V-O-L with their hand. So V-O-L. It's so dumb.
Usually you're pulling down the ring finger, not the middle
one. Right, I know. It's the other one. Yeah, this is the more difficult one.
You can't move any of the picks in the first three rounds, so no top 100 picks. We're not going to move those. That means you aren't getting Devontae Adams. We probably need to preserve a minimum of 5 draft picks per year. So none of this, well, somebody who would cost a second rounder, I'm going to give up all of my day 3 picks. That's not realistic.
Smart.
And because you're the Cowboys and we're in season and you're trying to get to contender status, teams are going to hold you up for a little extra value probably. And that means that you're going to be paying maybe a slight premium on some of these to where, remember, when you hear it, these might all sound like a little bit of overpays. But we're going to make 5 trades to make the Cowboys better. Number one, trade a 2025 fifth-round pick, so your fifth-round pick next year, to the Browns for defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson. Dalvin Tomlinson still has another year left on his contract before they're really going to be able to get out of that deal in Cleveland. And they are up against it in the salary cap with all the issues that they've got with Deshaun Watson's contract. Dalvin Tomlinson is still a really good run defender and somebody that's played for Mike Zimmer before, 30 years old. You'd have him under contract for the next little bit. So that's somebody who would be able to come in, and they've shown clearly by going and getting Linval Joseph and, you know, different guys that they want to find guys who are familiar with what Zimmer does.
68.5 PFF. So the Stephon Gilmore of defensive tackles.
You said fifth-round pick?
Fifth-round pick a defensive tackle, which is generally you're paying, if you look at recent trades over the years for a guy like Dalvin Tomlinson, you're paying sixth-ish. Now, you got to remember, the Cowboys are in line to, in all likelihood, get 3 fifth-round comp picks next year. And so once that happens, you feel like you can be a little more comfortable letting that one go.
Yeah, that would be Sonny Weaver just calling the Cowboys and saying, I want my pick back.
Number two. Fifth round pick. Number two, and this is somebody that Chop brought up recently. He probably wouldn't want to spend this capital on it, though. You trade a fourth round pick to the Panthers for Chuba Hubbard.
Oh, I'd do that.
You would give up a fourth for it?
Absolutely.
Okay, Chuba Hubbard is a guy who, he's a free agent at the end of this year. You are giving up a fourth round pick to get him for 10 games because the Cowboys are not going to pay to bring Chuba Hubbard back here, I would not imagine.
What would he take what would he demand on the open market?
Probably close to, with the way the running back market rebounded last year, he's probably, especially the way he's played this year, 8 to 10 next year is what I would guess.
No.
And so I don't think a lot of people are going to do that. So you give up a fourth round pick for basically just going all in and you're saying to hell with it. We're trying to win right now. Go get Chuba Hubbard. Panthers are really up against it in the salary cap. Panthers are probably not looking to spend a bunch of money to bring Hubbard back. And a fourth rounder is better than what they'd get in any sort of comp pick return for Hubbard. So Dalvin Tomlinson, Chuba Hubbard, you get two starters right away. Number three, Jalen Tolbert has played well. Brandon Cooks, when he comes back, you hope he's still contributing to some level. But you need to go out there and get some sort of receiver. Receivers cost a lot, generally. Even Amari Cooper, we were talking about being a third-round pick.
Yeah,
he was
a fifth and sixth.
So a sixth-round pick next year, or 2026, not 2025, the following draft.
Which is really a fifth. It turns into a fifth.
Sixth-round pick, you find, you go bring the band back together, and you spend a sixth to go get somebody that Dak is comfortable with, knows the offense, and
Cedric Wilson Jr.,
who is not really getting any playing time right now with the New Orleans Saints, had fallen out of favor in Miami, got moved over to the, or had voided his contract, went to the Saints. Available again, you go ahead, you just trade that 2026 sixth, which you, when you're trading a year out, so not the 25 draft, the 26, they generally tell you think losing a round worth of value. So a 2026 sixth would be to them more like a current year seven.
Give us a reminder of his, okay, so it goes the other way.
Yes.
Pushes back the other way. Give us a reminder of his skill set.
I mean, he's actually one of these really solid, like precise route runners. He'll attack the football. He's not like a big burner guy. He's like a 4-5 speed type of receiver, but he's somebody who, you know, decent size, decent contested catch player, and somebody who runs really clean routes. And more importantly, is in sync with Dak. When you're talking about offense and look how long they've taken on the ramp up with Dalvin Cook, you're going to need somebody here who it's like, let's cut a lot of corners. He already knows Dak, has worked with Dak, knows some of the offense. That gives him an advantage over some of the other guys we might trade.
I cannot believe his last year here.
That was great.
What was it, 24 receptions for 400 yards or something?
Not even close. you're laughing as if you know the answer.
I don't know the answer, but the not even close was a very irreverent comment.
45 for 602 and 6? Where the hell was I in covering this football team with Cedric Wilson, 45 for 600?
Was that COVID year or was that 21?
2021.
Okay.
Wow. I'm stunned. You have dad brain. You were all up on Cedric Wilson.
Are you sure?
You were saying they have to sign him and dump Michael Gallup.
No way.
Yes. You were all up on Cedric Wilson. I am stunned you don't remember
that. Cedric Wilson's still playing.
I even forgot I was a football genius. Man.
You literally have you've forgotten more football than others will know. Yeah, literally. All right, so that's your third trade.
I love your memory, RJ. Normally, I don't. But,
well, listen, I support all Tennessee Volunteers. Even though he didn't go to Tennessee, his dad did.
Oh.
So that's why he was there when I was there.
Never had more than 22 catches in any other season. Yeah.
He went to Miami, and then as soon as he signed with Miami, and as soon as he got there, they traded for Tyreek Hill like a couple weeks later.
Well, he got hurt, too. His first year, he got hurt.
But they had just, like, as soon as he signed, they trade for Tyreek, and it's like, oh, well. My question.
Yep.
And people were hitting me up with this on social media. Why is Michael Thomas still a free agent?
Because he's not good. Is that what it is? Is that all it is? He's a malcontent, and he was always a possession receiver in a game that's moved away from possession receivers.
Okay.
That's what it is. He is a very difficult personality for people to deal with.
He's 31. Only 31. So he's younger than, he's the same age as Cooks and Devontae.
Yeah, but not a like freak athlete, somebody who's really broken down, their body is difficult in the locker room, doesn't have like really a modern skill set. It's all, there's a lot of factors, I think, that play into Michael Thomas still being free. The fourth trade, as we attempt to rebuild the Dallas Cowboys with five trades that they can all make this month. The fourth trade, and this one would hurt from a value standpoint, You give up a 2026 fifth rounder, so not this upcoming year, but the following draft, for a guy that's literally just been elevated from the practice squad and was a free agent a couple weeks ago. Yannick Ngakoue. Now, if you're just talking about Yannick Ngakoue, is by all accounts toxic. The guy has been on five teams in 5 years, even though he gets double digit sacks. There's a reason for it. He's not very good in run support. He's literally just a we'll go get the quarterback type of guy. You would be trading a fifth rounder in a couple of years for a guy that was on the street recently, is kind of considered a cancer at times, and is somebody who you can only have out there in obvious pass rushing situations. But
he's 29.
He will get after the quarterback. He'll get there.
He had four sacks last year with the Bears in 13 games, and his season highs have been around 10. Sacks.
And that's somebody who still every year people are like, nope, don't want him anymore. You guys can take him. That's just the kind of players become. But he's really bad in run support. He'll rush the passer, though. So if you bring him in on 3rd and 8 with all the different injuries that you have, the different ways they want to play Micah, that's a way to get a little bit more consistent pass rush. Kind of like what they had with Dante Fowler in recent years, where they would put Fowler out there for pass rush situations, and they lost him to Washington this last offseason. And then number 5, I've got a little concern about your safety depth at times. And if you're really getting the most out of that position, and if you might need to start looking at a different rotation. So you trade a 6th round pick next spring to the Bills for safety Mike Edwards, who Mike Edwards is not really getting much playing time in Buffalo right now. Started a few games for the Chiefs last year, had been with the Buccaneers for several years before that. He's played in the Todd Bowles system, so if you're talking about a guy who would know some of the similar coverage concepts and things that Mike Zimmer demands of guys in the secondary, and you want that mental processor and somebody who's got experience having to do those things and function within a defense like that, Mike Edwards is that kind of guy. He's older now. I think he's 31, and he's not a full-time starter. You'd be giving up a 6th rounder for somebody who's coming in and being a rotational player and not even starting in Buffalo right now, but a decent player who has shown an ability to play with a high IQ and a very stressful defense that's similar to the one that you have. So to me, I think that Edwards is there. So you get Dalvin Tomlinson, Chuba Hubbard, Cedric Wilson, Yannick Ngakoue, and Mike Edwards.
Bobby, very good exercise.
Thank you.
Josh Clark, let's get that with the replay on the Odyssey app and the podcast. Well done on the home of America's team with our Cowboys insider. We have a breaking television hire. How good do you think this guy is going to be on national TV? Let's talk about it with the KNC Masterpiece next.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam into the Phillies bullpen in right center field. The Mets are leading by a score of 4-1.
Biggest swing of the Mets season, according to Mets Radio, as they move on and put away filthy. Tonight, you will have the Yankees taking on the Kansas City Royals. New York with the win last.
Hold on. Did you say Philadelphia lost?
I did.
So Bryce Harper doesn't win again? Man, that is crazy.
Do you hate Bryce?
No, I just think he's super duper overrated.
Really?
Yeah. You know how many times he's been above 12 for MVP? Twice. The two times he happened to win.
Oh, he's Eli.
Exactly. He's probably better than that.
He's definitely better than that.
People talk about him as an all-time great, and I think that is preposterous.
Do you not think he's a Hall of Famer?
He'll probably make the Hall of Fame, but that's also because he started really young, and baseball has this weird horror. They have this weird love.
Ooh.
Bluechew.com, promo code RJ.
Compilation stats when I'm like, okay, so you're around a really long time, like Craig Biggio, and you don't actually deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
I agree with you on a guy like Biggio, but like, I mean, you get to certain numbers, like 3,000. Longevity is a skill. Health is availability is a skill.
Yeah, it's a whole Hall of Fame of Art Monks.
His OPS plus for his career is 143, which means he's 43%. Better than league average.
So say the numbers, but the voters at no time except for 2 years ever thought he was worthy of being in the top 10. That's weird, don't you think?
So, no. But he won two.
So he's great.
He's got two.
Those
Biggio
two
finished
times.
In the top five times, never got it. So he's in. So
Choppy and I were laughing. Choppy and I were laughing earlier about a old Bryce Harper SportsCenter clip where he didn't know the word meme. he had only seen it written out and not pronounced, and goes, I don't want to do that because I didn't know there would be memes about me if I do that. He calls them memes.
Really?
He had never used the word before.
Is that as bad as GIF?
That's pretty bad. I don't like that.
GIF is correct.
That's it's not the
correct way to say it.
Yeah. Take it up with Jod.
How about this? What do y'all think of this hire? ESPN is bringing Cam Newton on First Take. He's going to make his debut on Friday. Cam Newton, national TV. And we've seen him on the podcast.
Why can't he get a starting job in the NFL? I thought he was this close.
I mean, he could start for Cleveland.
I actually like listening to Cam Newton talk about football on the field, like seeing the game. I like listening to him talk about that. It's all the hot takes that he tries to have that I'm like, you could leave that alone.
Yeah,
I just want to hear your analysis on the game.
I hate it. I hate how much I like him. Like, I really do enjoy listening to him talk.
Really?
Like,
he's really good at
even
it.
Even the hot take stuff and stuff. Like, even if I think, like, it makes me roll my eyes, he's very entertaining.
I love his
and
hats.
He's super. Yeah, cool. He looks like he used up all of his VC and NBA 2K, so he just started buying wild outfits.
Yeah, he half of his outfits, he looks like an extra in The Mummy. I love it.
But that's a great hire for First Take. He will be great on that show.
All right. You guys see if this is an insult towards our show and the radio station, and probably even your show.
Oh, no.
This was sent to us from Zach Gelb, CBS Sports Radio. Chris Mad Dog Russo talking about the Cowboys yesterday.
Now, yesterday, of course, Jerry Jones did his radio program, heard by about six people in Dallas, talking about the Cowboy identity after that win Sunday night against Pittsburgh.
The hell does he know? The guy that just likes to talk really loud all the time, and that's how he got famous. Come on, the hell's he talking about? That is a national interview twice a week. Everybody in the country,
including his show.
Yes, everybody in the country is expecting.
People not really even watch his show.
I mean, they will now that Cam Newton's on.
Which one? Are you talking about Wednesday First Take or his? He does
hot,
MLB Network,
hot baseball,
and what's his radio?
He does.
Yeah, he does. It's High Heat.
He's got his own show basically on MLB Network.
Does he stay awake, unlike his old co-host?
He stays awake, yes. He has definitely won the post-breakup. He's definitely won the post-breakup.
Oh, he's better than Francesa.
He was always better than Francesa. Everybody knew that.
RJ thinks this is maybe just a shot at, like, Jerry.
No, I think...
Let's hear it one more time, Pepe. Hit it one more time.
Now, yesterday, of course, Jerry Jones did his radio program, heard by about six people in Dallas, talking about the Cowboy identity after that win Sunday night against Pittsburgh.
I mean, look, I get it. Like, he doesn't actually know anything about sports, right? So he just has to yell at the easiest possible headlines, right? Let's talk about the Cowboys. Do you need me to break down anything else? I can't, but I can yell like this.
You
kind of like Dale Hansen, right? Used to be.
Would you say he's got big time baseball?
Yeah, without the moral lecturing.
Exactly.
Baseball, big time baseball knowledge.
Here's my little signature.
Baseball. Yeah, and like his basketball historian stuff is really good, but he just, my issue, he doesn't like have any, like he always makes fun of people who say, they think the sports started in 2005, right? He thinks all sports ended in like 84.
Yeah, I could see that.
Right? So, like, if you didn't play, if you played post MS-DOS on the computer,
MS-DOS.
I don't what think a he's reference. A huge fan of your ability.
What a reference.
All right, Bobby, I want you to bring back the big neighborhood watch story and have KNC decide with
okay.
their verdict.
All right, so I am, as I've stated before, I'm not a homeowner. I don't get to have an opinion on this. I don't get to weigh in.
You're Poe Kenny.
Yep, I'm Poe Kenny. I don't get to have a point on this. But over on the Allen, Texas Reddit page, they'd asked the question about dumping into your neighbor's trash bin. So this woman said, we live next to a rental property and the tenant recently moved out. Lately, we've noticed random crap appearing in our trash bins. Today, we finally caught the culprit in the act. Turns out it was the property owner from next door dumping his trash from his bin into ours. I walked outside, asked him to stop, explained that it's illegal dumping and theft of service here in Texas. That's when he lost it, started shouting, calling us names, saying he could do whatever he wanted. His reasoning, apparently because the trash company owns the bins, not us. He thinks he can use them however he pleases. So cops got involved, everything else. But there was a little bit of a split on the Fantex of the idea of who cares if somebody drops some trash in your bin? It's public property once it's out on the curb. And then there was others who said, no, this is a big deal, and you need to back the hell up.
Can I get, I don't know if you have this from the story. My opinion probably varies on clarification of, are you talking about somebody had a can and they were walking through the neighborhood and they dropped the can in there versus versus I have a bag of trash. Because if it's like a little tiny thing, I'm fine with it. If you're like putting like actual chunks of trash in there.
A bag of trash.
No
sounds,
deal.
Sounds like a
not
lot
okay.
of, this, the way she described it sounded like a lot of trash.
In fact, I do
she
not said think dumping, that's okay.
She said dumping trash from his bin into ours.
However, if I came, if I'm your neighbor and mine is full. I had a party or something. Yeah, I'm full. And I come knock on your door and say, hey, do you mind if I do this?
And that's totally fine.
I feel like that's like that's a great, hey, you respected me by asking me for my permission. Yeah. Go ahead.
And guess what? If that person says no, I'm absolutely doing it even
yeah,
more.
I'm doing it
because
more.
You're like, I asked.
Yeah. It's a trash can.
So the answer to your questions are irrelevant.
Proprietary control over the trash can.
I want to get to this. I want to get to this. This whole public property, it's when it's, bless you, when it's on the curb, it's public property. So, my car, I take issue with this statement. My car is just, you know, it's public property when it's on the curb.
I think their thought would be,
it's my, I bought my trash cans. So, like, I'm not renting them from the city.
So, I think in this instance, they're talking about the city, like, lend it, like you're paying for bins that the city owns and then you're putting it on the public property.
I've got a city of Fort Worth trash can.
Like
right?
for instance, Choppy doesn't own his.
Yeah.
And so when he puts it out on the curb, it's like, well, that's not even, you don't own the bin and it's on public property. I'll put whatever I want in there.
Don't you pay for it?
Yes.
Yeah. We all pay the same. We're all paying for the same service.
Like you lease it.
It's basically a co-op. But I have two trash cans anyway.
Well.
Nice.
I have the regular and I have the recycling.
Oh, yeah. I got that too.
They both get filled up with the same stuff because everybody knows they don't actually recycle.
Yeah, this isn't California.
This isn't California.
and Corey.
If my trash can gets filled up, guess what? It's all going in the recycling.
Do you
anyway.
Bag your recycles?
No.
It depends. No. Usually it's bottles.
So then you can't just throw whatever you want in the recycle because at least mine won't take it.
Well, they'll never know because they just use the
arm. What are they going to do?
They use the arm thing.
No. Plenty of times I'll get a tag left on mine because it's not sorted correctly that the recyclables, one or two things in there was not a recyclable.
Sunnyvale.
And they'll leave it there. No, that was East Dallas.
Yeah, I never gotten that. They didn't look.
Kristen lost her. So we have valet trash at the apartment.
What the hell does that mean?
You have to pay for it. It's like 30 bucks a month. And basically, even if you take your own trash out, you have to pay for the service of some truck coming by, picking up the bags from your door that you leave out and taking the trash out for you. Like that, you don't get an option to opt
out of
it.
So you guys putting out the trash, you just have to put it outside your door?
Outside your door. But it's maximum of,
I did that.
A maximum of two bags. Kristen put out like a half of a...
Two bags?
Yeah, they pick it up every night. Kristen put out a half of a third bag, and they complained to the office about it, and so the office sent us a warning.
Yep.
And so now Kristen is like, I am putting two bags every night filled with cinder blocks, and they're going to have to carry those every night.
You
know like, I'm loading these down. Even if I don't have trash, I'm making them as heavy as possible because that was petty. They could have just picked up half a bag and walked
that
it.
That sounds like a lot of extra work for her.
It's worth it to her.
Where are you getting the cinder blocks? Has she done it yet?
I mean, there's plenty of them
the cinder
around.
Blocks upstairs.
Have you been to an apartment?
I just walk around finding cinder blocks everywhere.
Well, not you, because you're a homeowner, Chop. In apartments, they're pretty plenty.
So you're telling me that your wife has been, you have an elevator or are you on the first floor?
No, we're on first floor.
Okay. So you're telling me your wife has she walked a cinder block back to your place?
She's put a brick in the bag already.
And is that stealing to just walk around and take cinder blocks?
No, public property.
Public property.
You know what? I got a lot of bricks in the garage. You can have them. I just get them out of there.
Man, anyone who needs anything, Choppy is trying to give away his garage.
Yeah, I need a place to park my cars again.
Yeah, it's getting very cold.
You hear that? Plural. What a flex.
Oh, man. Well, I have one and Sarah has one. It's really wild. All these cars and two cars.
You almost have as many cars as I have tables.
That's right.
Tables?
I got a lot of tables. I got like six or seven tables in my house.
Like dining room tables?
Yeah, we've established that's a lot of tables.
Why do you have so many?
Are you counting coffee tables, like side tables?
Tables, that just like living room table, table in the kitchen, table in the parlor, table in the...
Why don't you have a yard sale?
Nook.
That's a lot of work. You got to plan what you're going to get rid of. Sarah was taking all the Uptown cheapskate, and I'm like, this is going to take forever. And sell all these clothes that we have, and we've got other like tables and chairs. You know, we might. There's the neighborhood garage sale coming up. Biannual, Sean, or is it? Yeah,
that's twice annual.
Two times a year, twice a year, right?
Yes, biannual,
huh? It's biannual, right?
Yeah.
Does anybody ever put out like a price to go along with all the individual items, and they're like $300, you can take everything.
Just take everything for the whole lot.
Because I wonder if somebody would walk by and be like, I'll take it all.
Yeah, it's like Pawn Stars or whatever. No, the Storage Wars, where you just buy a storage unit and you don't know what's in it.
Yes.
All right. The fellas are up next. We're back tomorrow with Mike McCarthy live at 6:30 here on 105.3 The Fan. It's the KNC Masterpiece coming your way.